The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
If you're a regular here, if Summit is your home, if this is your place, it is fantastic to see you as well, and we're glad that you are here today. How many of you, because the weather was a little cooler this morning maybe than we anticipated for April the 19th, had to alter your Easter attire that you were going to wear? Anybody else? Was it just me? I had a Resurrection Under Armour polo, and I had to switch it up. I think it's going to be fine. If you're a guest, it's a long, complicated story. I'm excited that you all are here today. I love this day. I've been pondering the opportunity to talk and speak with all of you this morning, and here's what I was jotting down. I wrote down how fortunate I am and how thankful I am to daily be reminded of what we celebrate on this day. Aren't you thankful for that? You and I have the opportunity to be daily reminded of what it is that we celebrate on this day. I thought about the privilege to weekly gather with so many of you to rejoice in what we celebrate on this day. I'm incredibly thankful for that. I thought about how incredible it is to have friends that speak to the reality of what we are contemplating today. They speak that reality into my life on a regular basis. Do you have friends like that? Is that not an amazing thing? I thought about how kind and sweet it is of the Lord to bless me with a wife and daughters to walk through this life with, where what we have been singing about this morning, what we will take a few moments and look at in Scripture this morning, is actually central to our entire life. Isn't that kind and gracious of the Lord? I am overwhelmed by the grace and the kindness of God towards me in that way. This morning I sent a text to my mom and dad. And the text said, I want to thank you for your faithfulness in pointing me to Jesus, that on this day, I can celebrate the faithfulness of my Savior. I'm friends on social media with a guy by the name of Jack McLaughlin. And Jack was my pastor when I was a little kid. And it was under Jack's teaching as a little kid that I accepted Christ. So you know what I did this morning? I got on Facebook and I went to his page and I said, Happy Resurrection Day, Pastor Jack. I want to thank you that 38 years ago, you were intentional to help a kid get it. My heart for you is that you would constantly live with the reminder that there are over 7 billion people walking this planet. And if you sit here today with a relationship with the God of the universe through faith in Jesus Christ because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, my heart for you is that you would live in the reality of what we celebrate today every day. That's what I was thinking about. I was like, well, you know, maybe a little more crowded than normal. That happens sometimes around Easter. Some folks here today. Just this reminder that that you would continue to have the hope found in what we remember this day to be central to your life. Not a piece, the core. And if you're here today and you have not yet come to truly know Jesus, maybe you know about him, maybe you know a good bit about him, but if you have yet to give up the pursuit of your kingdom and found life in his, I've been praying that today would be the day that you do so. That's how I've been praying for each of you, myself, not just over the past few days, but regularly. That is, You know, I share with you guys before that I'm a little bit of a journaler, and it's on my iPad so that I can actually read it because I have horrible penmanship. But I go back and I read some of what I've journaled, what I've prayed about. It's a prayer journal for me. That's what I pray for myself, for my family, for my friends, for all of you, that Saved Summit is your place, that I have the opportunity to be one of the shepherds, one of the pastors, teachers, elders here. I regularly pray that the beauty and hope of what we celebrate today would alter every aspect of your life. That the kingdom you are now a part of, if you know Jesus, and the kingdom that you have been invited into, if you don't yet truly know Jesus, would make everything else in this world pale in comparison to what you have. Now, one of the things that I actually enjoy thinking about is from Scripture is what is essential to living in the reality of this day, every day. What is foundational in coming to Jesus and embracing the life that he offers? And one of the words I keep coming back to over and over again happens to be a word that we've been talking about a good bit over the past few Sundays here at Summit, and it's this word, humility. You see, for all of us that celebrate this day, what makes today so incredibly beautiful to us personally is that we did give up the pursuit of our own kingdom, and in doing so, we found life in his, because that is truly the only place where life, true life, is found. I was actually thinking about, this past week, I was thinking about Herod the Great, all the way back when Jesus was born. So a little Christmas thought at Easter. Why was Herod so alarmed and worried when the wise men showed up asking where Jesus was? They showed up, and this was the question they asked. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? And Herod freaked out. It actually says that he was troubled. Now, why would Jesus showing up on the scene make anyone troubled? Because from the beginning, Jesus has made people come face to face with who the true king of their life will be. And what I've discovered through my years of pastoring and just as I've had conversations with people, most people don't mind Jesus at all. Did you know that? You know that. You know that to be true. As a matter of fact, most everyone is more than okay with Jesus as someone who was a good example, a good guy, loved people, showed compassion. But if you begin to share with them, show them what Jesus truly claims about following him and the ways of his kingdom and the need that they need to give up their kingdom to truly find life in his kingdom, well, that's actually harder for people. But as Herod shows us, it always has been. It's not new. Now, the fact of the matter is, everyone will eventually, all of us in this room and everyone, will eventually bow before the Lord and confess that he is who he is. Lord of Lords, King of Kings. But I don't know if you're like me and have wondered why some say, I'll follow, and others say, nah, not interested in that. I like the kingdom that I'm building for myself. I kind of like being the center of my world. Or why many say, I'm following Jesus, but in actuality, they are still much more interested in attempting to make much of themselves instead of much of him. I would suggest to you this morning that essential to embracing the kingdom of Jesus and walking away from your own kingdom, if you have yet to do so, and embrace the life with Jesus, of paramount importance for you in living in the reality of the resurrection every day is this idea of humility. It's of utmost importance. If you have your Bibles or maybe on your phone, whatever you may have with you today, would you open them up to Philippians chapter 2? We're going to take a look at verse 9, 10, and 11 this morning. And as you turn there, if you're newer with us, we are at Summit. If you're a guest here today and you wonder what we normally, you know, what do you guys typically do on a Sunday morning? We're usually studying through books of the Bible. We love that. We love everything being centered and anchored there. We're usually studying through, and we've been working our way through Philippians over the past couple of months. Today we find ourselves in a few verses that I think are quite perfect for this Resurrection Sunday. The Apostle Paul wrote Philippians to the Christ followers in the city of Philippi while he himself was in prison in Rome. And it says this in chapter 2, verse 9. It says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, a reminder, because I know not everyone's been with us, Paul's been encouraging those who are in Christ Jesus to walk in humility, to consider others more important than themselves, because that is the way of Jesus' kingdom. Look back at verse 3, if you don't mind, since you have your Bibles open there. Verse 3 of chapter 2 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." Right? Look at what you're saying. People like Jesus, but what about where we're told that following in the ways of Jesus means growing and walking in humility and considering others? Now, I know that these are the words of Paul here, but Jesus said the same thing, didn't he? When Jesus was talking with his disciples back in Mark 10, he said, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all." Think of others as more significant. We are called in Christ's kingdom to not operate from a place of pride, but from a place of humility, because truth be told, it is only from a place of humility that we could ever step into his kingdom. For us to step into Jesus' kingdom is to have a humble spirit that says, "Jesus, you are the only way." A humble spirit that says, "Jesus, I need you to be made right." A humble spirit that says, "Jesus, I can't make my own way." A humble spirit that says, "Jesus, I am not the center of the universe." And to motivate them in regards to Paul and what he's encouraging them and reminding them to do, Paul says, don't forget, hey, Church of Philippi, Christ followers in Philippi, don't forget who you are in Jesus Christ. And he articulates really the gospel and how at the heart of the gospel you actually find a humble Savior. Look at verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Paul says, let me remind you of what is available to you, because you are in Jesus Christ. If you have a relationship with the God of the universe through Jesus, that means that you are in Christ. And let me remind you, that's what he says, let me remind you about Jesus. Look at verse 6. "Who though he was born in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant." Remember what he was saying back in Mark 10? "Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form," verse 8 says, "he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And listen, we've talked about all these verses over the last couple of weeks, even this past Friday when we gathered for our Good Friday service, as Nathan did, our family discipleship pastor, a fantastic job talking about verse 8. But those verses, and I just went back to them and touched on them, they're so important based on verse 9, because verse 9 starts with this really important word. Look back at verse 9. It starts with a very important word. Do you see it? What's the word? Therefore. Now, in Bible school, they say clever things. Like, when you read the word therefore, you need to read what was before the word therefore to find out what it's there for. Yeah. That's right. So many of us went to Bible school, or people just been saying that in other places? Okay. I paid a lot of money to get the... never mind. Anyway. Into a lot of debt there. Anyway. Others talk about this in regards to inference. Yeah. An inference is a statement that explains what is or should be based on something already said. I read where a pastor once said, an inference is like the top floor of a building, because it always rests upon other floors or other reasons that have already been given. So statements that begin with therefore are almost always inferences, because inferences build off of other statements. So whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, when you're reading in your own time and you're just going through, ask what that statement is building upon. So what is Paul building off of with these incredibly glorious verses we read, verses 9, 10, and 11? I read them just a few moments ago. He's building off of what he's been saying in verses 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we who are in Christ, we have a relationship with him. We go, yes, but don't forget the therefore. The verses before tell us what? They tell us that God exalted Jesus because of the humility of Jesus. God exalted Jesus because of the perfect obedience of Jesus. God exalted Jesus because of the suffering of Jesus. God exalted Jesus because of the willing sacrifice of Jesus. God exalted Jesus because of the death of Jesus, even death on a cross. So we humbly turn, from our kingdom and step into the kingdom of King Jesus, who has been exalted and whose name is above every other name. A king who what? Emptied himself. A king who what? Came to earth in human form. But get a load of this. He did not come as royalty. He came as a servant. Hang with me. I know you know the story, but I think it's worth recapping based on where we are in Philippians. It's not just that he came as a servant. He came as a servant who would die. But it's not just that he came as a servant who would die. He came as a servant who would die on a cross. He came as a servant who would die on a cross. King Jesus? Yes. Humble servant, King Jesus. Absolutely. So who am I, as you process this, who am I then to hold on to a kingdom that I'm trying to build for myself in futility? And if you said, yes, I want to follow Jesus, it can actually only be through humility, a humility that acknowledges your dependence on him, your need for him, my need for him, your need for his sacrifice, my need for his sacrifice on your behalf to make things right between you and your Creator. And here's the thing, and the reason I know some of us are excited today, and I'm quite excited today, this isn't an, oh man, I guess I got to follow Jesus. Oh, it's not a, well, you know, I tried everything else, so. Guess I should give this Jesus thing a try. Nope. It is a willing, humbling ourselves, willingly submitting ourselves to the one, the only one, who could and did in humility come and live the perfect life that you and I could never live, a perfect life that even attempting to put your best foot forward is woefully inadequate. And then die a criminal's death. Right? You get it, right? Like he didn't come and live his life and die in his sleep of old age. What makes us think that we should hold on to the futility of our kingdom when this is being offered? Servant Jesus, humble Jesus, crucified Jesus, risen Jesus. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I would suggest that there is no better place to examine the exaltation of Jesus than at the empty tomb. His resurrection. Exalted, that term should be thought of in regards to God's exaltation of Jesus to a position of recognizable superiority over what? Over all creation. Think about this for just a moment, if you would. When the men buried Jesus, they laid him in the grave. And in that moment, men had done their worst, hadn't they? Think about it for a second. The created attempting to kill the Creator. Why? Because the kingdom of Jesus has always been a threat to those who long to keep their own kingdom. And so they lay him in the tomb, but you guys know the story. The kingdoms of man can't stand against the kingdom of Jesus. He walked out of the tomb from death to life, from men hurling insults and slander towards him to God the Father giving him a glorious name, the name above all names. What does Paul say? Look back at verse 11. Jesus Christ is Lord. All caps. It's the first time that title appears in Philippians, and it speaks to the full deity of Jesus as the Son of God. And what is the result of Jesus Christ, the Lord, being exalted? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and God will be glorified. Every. I believe Paul to be referencing what the prophet Isaiah had said years and years earlier. To me, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. Only in the Lord it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength to him shall come and be ashamed all who were incensed against him. What's Paul saying? I think maybe he's saying a couple of things. One, not everyone who bows before Jesus one day and confesses that he is Lord will do so gladly. And at the same time, to be honest with you, I don't think Paul's point is necessarily to focus on Jesus' triumph over his enemies. I think Paul wants to remind the church of Philippi that Jesus is sovereign over everything, over all creation. And what this little persecuted church in Philippi is proclaiming and confessing that Jesus is Lord, eventually everyone will. And to you today and to us today, I want to remind you of the same. What we proclaim in this room on this day, what you all were just singing at the top of your lungs about, it has been proclaimed for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. We have joined the chorus of thousands and thousands of others, of those who have gone before us, and one day everyone will proclaim it. Some gladly, some not gladly. But key to doing so gladly is this idea of humility, the giving up of your own kingdom for his, the daily reminder from the Spirit of God through the Word of God. If you have embraced Jesus, that still at the growing in Jesus, at the core of that is humility. A constant acknowledgement that you don't need to hold on to your own kingdom because the one who reigns over all humbled himself to bring you into his kingdom. And Paul knows what he's doing when he writes this. Of course, he's being led by the Spirit to write, and he encourages them to walk in humility. He stops and he says, I know walking in humility and considering others may seem daunting, but look at that's what he does. Paul always does this. You guys have heard me say this before if you've been around for a while. Paul always does this. He says, look to Jesus as your motivation, right? Walk in humility. Look to Jesus, the person of Jesus. And what is the result of that? The life that Jesus lived, the death that he died, the beauty of the resurrection, and this invitation from him to us to walk with him. Look back at verse 11. What is this all about? And I'll conclude. It says this, to the glory of God the Father. The whole purpose of Christ humbling himself and coming to earth and serving and dying, even death on a cross, and then his resurrection and his exaltation is to the glory of God. That word glory is the idea of perfection, the perfection of God, his beauty, his greatness, his perfectness. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you remember this or not, but when Jesus was preparing to face the cross, what was it that he said? He said, Father, the hour has come. And then he says this. He says, glorify thy Son, that thy Son might glorify you. The glory of God was on his heart and mind. And Paul says here, God has highly exalted Jesus. This is God's doing. This is God's action, right? And that action has a purpose. The purpose being that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord. But the purpose also has a purpose. In every knee bowing and in every tongue confessing Jesus is Lord, God will be glorified. I'll let you in on a little something. Our salvation has as its ultimate purpose. Hang with me. You ready? Our salvation, our coming into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, has as its ultimate purpose, you know what its ultimate purpose is? The glory of God. It is actually about, can I say it this way? It is actually about more than the salvation of a lost soul, as wonderful as that is. All of this is about the glory of God, the perfection of God. We have been brought into His kingdom. It is for His glory and His fame. And that is overwhelmingly humbling. If it's about His glory, if it's about His fame, then guess whose glory and fame it can't be about? Mine. Yours. Any of us that attempt to make ourselves the center of the universe. Because God knows something that I think many of us, in His kindness and grace, as sanctification takes place, is leading us to discover and lean into and find the beauty of. There is no more satisfying life for you, and there is no more satisfying life for me than when we live life from the perspective of bringing glory to God. You can run after other things. You can make other things your savior. Those things constantly let you down and disappoint you. You know this to be true. Many of you, if I gave you a microphone this morning and I said, come tell us our story about how you came to know Jesus Christ, the stories would be very different, but they would be very similar. The circumstances would be very different. The common thread that many of us would share as we grabbed the microphone and shared our story would be what? I chased after other things and other things left me empty. I thought if I had this job, it would complete me. It did not. I thought if I had this person as a spouse, it would complete me. It did not. I thought if I had children, it would complete me. They did not. I thought if I got X amount of dollars in my bank account, I would go, and I didn't. I thought if this group of friends at school would accept me, if I got invited into that group, I would have finally said yes, and it didn't complete me. That would be the story of so many of us in the room. Now, the fact of the matter is, there may be some of you in the room today that you even walked in here today and you're still chasing after those things. And I know that I don't know all of you. I know most of you. My heart for you is that even on this day, you would go, you know what? You've lived enough to know the futility of it all. And that you would even see in these words from the Apostle Paul all these years ago to this church at Philippi, to walk in humility, to be able to do that as you look to a humble king. Is that in the kindness of God's grace that He would draw you to Himself? Like, that's what's humbling about it, right? Hey, look at me for just a sec. 7 billion people? Are you kidding me? 7 billion. And of the 7 billion, many of you sit here in this room today and you have a relationship with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? Oh, goodness, I don't ever want to be undone, not be undone by that. Who am I, the created, to tell the Creator who has offered me relationship with Himself, nah, I'm good. I'm going to hold on to my kingdom. Well, Jason, that kind of sounds silly. It does, doesn't it? But go back and read your Bibles, and what do you see? Person after 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 person who says what? I like my kingdom. And it's not just there. It's in the people that you're rubbing shoulders with. It may be with someone in your home. Get a load of this. It may be you in your home. Today is the day. The opportunity is available to step into His kingdom in humility. And you can because you step into a relationship with a humble Savior who has been exalted to the glory of God. Would you pray with me? Our team's going to come up and we're going to sing a couple more songs together. And as they come up and we prepare to sing, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, and I wanted to give you an opportunity this morning. I don't want to just blow past this. If you are here today and you would say, you know what, Jason? I can admit, I can acknowledge that up to this point, the kingdom that I have been most interested in is my own. And truthfully, it has been my pride. It has been my pride that has caused me to run after things that I think will satisfy me. And I'm tired of running after those things. And like I said, this, you know, for many of you in the room, like it's not whether you know about Jesus. But there is a significant difference between knowing about Jesus and truly knowing Him. You can know Jesus and be full of pride and continue to chase after your things. But we come to know Jesus through humbly saying, those things don't satisfy. Those things don't complete me. Those things don't make me right with You, God. If you're here this morning and you just are interested in stepping into Jesus' kingdom, a humble Savior, I'd love you just to look up at me. I just want to make eye contact with you. There's nothing special about making eye contact. I just want to catch eyes with you because I'm going to be praying for you. Anybody? Yep. Who else? Sure. Who else? Yep. Who else? Right on. Hey, listen, if that's you today, I appreciate you being honest enough to look at me. I would say this to you. There's not a magical formula, so to speak, that in the quietness of your seat this morning, you can articulate to the God of the universe that you would like a relationship with Him. That you believe, have faith, that Jesus, His Son, His perfect sacrifice, what we celebrate on this day, His death, burial, His resurrection, has made that possible. It's what you need. It's what I need. And follow after Him. I'd love for you to tell somebody, tell me, family member, friend, begin to walk with you in following after Jesus. Others of you here this morning that do know Him, I pray for you, like I mentioned at the beginning of our time this morning, I pray for you that what we celebrate on this day would be core. It would be your everyday. And maybe you're here this morning, you go, Jason, would you just pray for me? Like, as one of your pastors, I want to pray for you. If would you pray for me that I would live in the reality of what is actually true? the reality of this day, what this day means every day, that I would live from that place. If that's you, would you look up at me, because I want to be praying for you? Sure. Who else? Right on. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Who else? Right on. Two. Yep. Who else? Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Right on. Father God, you are so kind and gracious to us. It is in true humility that we come before you, contemplating and fathoming your kindness and your grace to us. I'm undone by it. I pray that it would be central to how we live life. That in your kindness and grace, your Spirit will be so kind and gracious through your word to point our hearts and our minds daily to this truth that we celebrate on this day. And even as we come back next week and continue on in Philippians 2, the practical outworkings of everyday life in light of this reality. And we will thank you for it. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.